U.S. factory activity slowed.
Based on hitting a shareholder value as market capitalization.
A lot more global. So creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English-speaking U.S.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and 720 WGN.
And welcome to Friday afternoon in the Allstate Skyline studio here on 720 WGN. It is 12:11. Steve Bertrand here in the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks very much for tuning in. Tom Gimbel will be here a little bit later in the program. You just heard his voice. And I'm going to talk about the CEO, I think it was of Nestle, who said, he said, if you hear a CEO talking about his work-life balance, sell the stock. I want to hear what Gimbel has to say about that a little bit later in the program as well. Pam Hollander, the vice president of marketing at Allstate. They just signed a deal with those hot chocolate fun runs, and so we'll kick that around. But we start Fridays generally with Andrea Haines, who's finally back after being gone for a month or so.
I know, blame it on me, Steve.
I guess I haven't seen you in October.
It's been a while.
Mostly me. All me, really. I've been gone the last three Fridays, so it's great to be back here. Andrea is the editor of Blue Sky Innovation in the Chicago Tribune, covering technology and the innovation world. And I think my tease for the show was, what do Penny Pritzker and Daniel Burnham have in common? Make no little plans, right? Pritzker is behind this plan to make us a tech capital by the year 2033,
yes.
Now, why 33? What would that year be about?
So it's a 100th anniversary of Chicago's Century of Progress World's Fair. And it's also 15 years from now,
Okay. So
it creates a little goal and a little number to put on the effort.
So what's this about, this plan?
Yeah, so this is called P33. The P is for people, planning, and preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an effort led by Penny Pritzker, who is the former U.S. Commerce Secretary under President Obama, Hyatt Hotel heiress. And, you know, her brother is JB, who's running for governor right now and who helped found 1871.
I was going to say, so JB's very tech-oriented,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, family interest, definitely, in helping kind of buoy the tech scene in Chicago.
So, but, I mean, is this a marketing thing? I mean, I know there's a big thing about keeping talent, collegiate talent in town, or what is it that they actually hope to accomplish here?
Yeah, keeping talent here is just a perennial issue that we always hear about. You know, there are things like the Amazon effort, which, as we know, has been going on, and Penny Pritzker has also helped with that. I thought Ali Amirati, who wrote this story for the business section, had a great quote from Amanda Lannert, who is the CEO of Jellyvision.
Yeah.
And I think she kind of nailed what to her was different about this effort. And she said she goes to a lot of tech industry, quote, hype events, things where we're hyping up how great we are. But she said this, she felt like right away was different because it wasn't sponsored by the mayor, she specifically said. And it was actually the private sector kind of stepping up and saying, what can we do to facilitate collaboration and raise our profile in tech?
It's funny because that was the quote that jumped out at me as well. And it was a good idea. It's true that, you know, this isn't some government program trying to boost the city. These are the civic leaders behind it. Now, I don't know if they're going to raise money or what they're going to spend money on, but it's nice to see this sort of private plan to boost the city when it comes to tech.
Yeah, creating a really ambitious plan. And also behind it is Chris Gladwin, who sold CleverSafe to IBM for more than $1 billion and has spent a lot of time since figuring out how to pay it forward and help, you know, again, rise the whole scene.
So how will we know if they succeed?
We'll all forget about it by then, right? 15 years from now, yeah. Who will even remember to hold anyone accountable? Isn't that how
it will
works?
Be the Wintrust Business 15 seconds by then, because I will have been retired for a while.
Yep. I mean, hopefully, you know, you always hope for a few wins. Homegrown companies that make it big.
Absolutely.
And also companies that may come into town.
Uber is not a homegrown company, but it certainly has made it big. ShiftGig is a homegrown company. I'm worried about our friends at ShiftGig.
You know, those of us who follow this world, I think immediately thought, like, well, this sounds like ShiftGig, right?
Right.
Uber, which puts its hands in so many different areas, is currently trying out UberWorks, which provides event and corporate type of functions with temporary workers. So if you're holding an event, you've got people you've hired to work that event, and you suddenly realize, I need more staff for tonight, you would use the service to get more staffers to help you out.
So in a way, it fits with Uber, and in a way, it doesn't. I mean, they do Uber Eats. I know that that's one other thing, but this is, so it's temp work, gig work, but it's with people. I guess they've got their drivers are people.
Yeah, I mean,
now.
Uber, I would say, like, the way to think about it maybe is they do on-demand, right? So they are doing on-demand transportation. They moved into on-demand food service. Now they're moving into on-demand labor. And so they are doing all these things where they are creating these platforms to connect and provide those services quickly.
And going back to ShiftGig and Eddie Liu, who's, he started that here, finding temporary workers for just this sort of thing. I mean, this could be an existential threat to him, right?
It does seem like a similar business model. The idea is, too, that you on the user end, you can sign up to get extra shifts, right? If you're a worker, maybe you have a day you didn't get booked in your job, you can take on a gig for that day.
Right.
It's definitely along the same lines. And this was Allie again, and she did talk to Eddie Liu, who's sort of, you know, just saying Uber, obviously a formidable competitor, but maybe there's room for both.
But, well, I mean, you want to... In a way, it's not just that you want competition, but the more people who are there in some ways sort of validates what you're about, too.
I guess it could just be a new way of doing business and a new way of connecting people to do that.
Okay, so I want to talk about one other story, the story about the CTA adding, and I'm surprised this is getting so much play, but I'm kind of glad they're doing it, but they're going to start adding screens on their buses, right, so that you can see like when your next stop is going to arrive and things like that.
Yeah, and it's something we've become familiar with in train stations, for example. And it's almost a surprise they don't have it yet, right?
Certain stories
strike me as that way. Like, really, that doesn't exist already. So this is going to be a small test in CTA buses where there will be screens installed that will have arrival times, and then of course ads and public service announcements.
So if you're sitting on the number 11 Lincoln bus, which used to be mine, which I don't think exists anymore, does it?
Yeah, right. I think the 11 has come and gone so many times. I do think it's gone now, though.
So you can see when the Webster stop is coming or how many minutes away.
Yeah.
Which you can do now on an app anyway, could you not?
There definitely are apps that will let you do that.
Okay.
Another interesting thing, this all came out during a talk at the City Club. So sometimes there you get things mentioned that aren't quite baked yet, and it's kind of a cool place to get new news. Another thing that was mentioned was ability to pay fares by cell phone, which they didn't put a timeline on, but that would be a pretty big change if that comes along.
Andrea Haines, read more at blueskychicagotribune.com. Thanks for coming by. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WG, and Tom Gimbel is in the studio. Of course, the CEO, founder of LaSalle Network. Tom, welcome back to the Business
Lunch. Always good to see you. Welcome back from Europe.
So thank you very much. We had a great time. We should have the conversation we just had, you know, about focusing on the negative and things.
Yeah.
We should do that sometime. But,
absolutely.
So
too pessimist.
I know, it's awful.
It's really great.
And then this happened.
It's
was really bad.
Boost.
No one had fun. So Mark Schneider, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal just focusing on him, the CEO of Nestle.
Yep.
And he said, he had a quote that jumped out at producer Bennett Wakenight. He said, the quip is, when you have the CEO talk about his or her own work-life balance, it may be time to sell the stock.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about work-life balance, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to be focusing?
For the rank and file.
But not the CEO?
The option. Do you want your, if you get diagnosed with a disease, you want your doctor having work-life balance?
Well, yeah, I do, because I want my doctor rested and focused. Well, it's
you don't want him studying all night, doing research all the time on it. I'm not talking before he does the surgery. I'm talking the research.
The phrase is balance, work-life balance.
You want your football coach having work-life balance. Hey, I'm done at 5 o'clock on Thursday before the game. I got to go home and rest.
If it's a balance and he's prepared, I think
if you're prepared.
Yeah.
If you are prepared and a CEO running a company as big as Nestle's, right, or Nestle, is the job ever done? Is there work-life balance? Do they love and breathe the job? When you get to a certain point, that's a really important aspect to say. You know, it's almost like the President of the United States, right? Whether it was Obama or even Trump and all the golf that they do. And you're kind of like,
right.
For 4 years, no vacation.
Well, Trump
no
said
golf.
That, right? And now he golfs
all the
time.
They're both problems. Both of them golfed a lot. But it's like, for 4 years, guess what? You're making the choice. You're running the free world, right?
That's funny. So I would give Trump a break on that and say he was, you know, shooting his mouth off like he does. But once you're there, hopefully he realizes that there's nothing wrong with a few rounds of golf.
There isn't. Listen, the president's usually doing it with Congress, with certain people.
Right.
When you're doing it alone at your country club, I think that's the knock. But there's a difference between work-life balance and talking about work-life. I think that's the point.
One more thing, though. So, because just as we started talking, I was at a luncheon with Steve Wojciechowski, the Marquette coach, a few years ago, and he made, because you just talked about the coaches, and it reminded me, he said that, he goes, look, if a coach tells you he's got to work 24/7, you know, that's not me, I'm not that kind of guy, they're lying to you. So he did sort of talk about a balance.
Right, well, I mean, Steve Spurrier famously said...
I'd like to see him go further in the tournament, But yeah.
But Steve Spurrier famously said when he came to the NFL, I'm not going to be sleeping on the couch, right? He was out of the NFL in a season.
Okay.
Right? I mean, there's certain jobs that isn't about that. To be the best at anything, Steve, there isn't a lot of work-life balance.
Okay, so if you're the CEO, you're a CEO, it sounds to me like you're not worried about your work-life balance.
No. There's moments that I am, but I wouldn't go and talk about it. There's moments that I need a break, I need a vacation, I need downtime, there's no doubt about it. But I wouldn't go and say the number one thing in my life as the CEO is work-life balance. It's not.
There's a conflict then in Schneider's comments because he went on to say that programs to balance personal and professional parts of life are central to attracting talent.
Correct.
Okay, so if you're a CEO completely out of whack,
yep,
of balance.
You can twist things as good as anybody, but go on, please.
If you're that CEO, but you realize you have to offer this sort of balance idea to bring people in, it seems to me like that is fraught with the potential for resentment.
No, it's like raising children, right? You know that you're what your kids should do, and you also know that they need to break some rules every now and again and do some things. And you've got to do what's good for the masses. So the president of the United States, back to that analogy, is running a country for 350 million people.
Okay.
The person in Tulsa doesn't have the same need as the guy running the hedge fund in Chicago, right? So when you're a CEO of a company and you need to attract talent who makes $65,000 a year and they're going to cap out at $90,000 20 years from now, that's different than somebody who's going to rise to the top of the entire organization. Where's your career motive? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to accomplish?
Because they're limited, that they're only going to be a certain level player anyway.
Yeah. At the end of it, listen, no matter how hard you try, only Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods can be Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, right? There's just, but they are or were great because they worked harder than anybody else.
So I still hear you saying then, if I'm going in for an interview, that I shouldn't say your work-life balance programs are important to me.
You have to measure what you want at what time and what point in your life. But it's really hard to say, you know, if you were hiring somebody to come cut your grass, and they said, hey, listen, work-life balance is really important to me. I'm going to do half your yard this week. I'm going to do half your yard next week. You want to hire that guy to do your grass?
Yeah, I think how about Hobby Lobby, the store, and they're very religious owners, and they say our work-life balance is important. We're closed on Sundays.
Okay.
You're okay with that?
I'm okay. I like Chick-fil-A.
Are they closed on Sundays?
Yeah.
No. Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Chick-fil-A.
All right. So what we're taking away from this is you want a hard-driving
CEO
and soft mamby-pamby employees.
No. Not, God, you're good. You want a hard-driving CEO who has compassion for the rank and file.
A way of expressing that is understanding their work-life
balance. Yeah, the phrase I use is compassionate accountability. Care about people, but hold them accountable.
Tom Gimbel is the CEO of LaSalle Network. How do people find you?
Just Fridays, 12:20 with you.
Please, yeah.
At Tom Gimbel at LaSalle Network.
Nice to see you again.
Always fun.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank, right here on 720 WGN. But we also are sitting in the Allstate Skyline studio. You hear me say that a lot, but I'm going to emphasize it today because sitting across from me is Pam Hollander, the Vice President of Marketing at Allstate. Pam, welcome.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Pam is the VP, and talk about the insurance company's latest marketing efforts. I know we want to talk about the hot chocolate runs as well. But, you know, I wanted to start with just the idea of insurance companies and sports marketing, because it seems like that's an area that you guys are really drawn to.
Absolutely. We're not the only ones.
And you came up with the field goal net, right?
Yes.
Way back in the day?
Way back in the day.
Was that one of your big early successes at Allstate?
It was. Yeah. It was.
So tell me about the importance when it comes to sports and tying that to Allstate.
Yeah. You know, and again, it's I'm sure for a lot of brands, you know, sports is still the it's live viewing. Right. And with the way the media is changing and people are, tuning into shows that they want on their time when they want it, we still get live eyeballs through sports.
That's interesting.
But
sports was big before that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just because of the activity of it or because of the engagement of it?
I think it's the engagement. It's the passion.
Right.
Right. The passion and the fact that there are fans out there for every sport, for every team, for every player. And so there's a way that brands can associate with that passion.
Is the field goal net still active?
Oh, absolutely. 90-plus schools.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. And so the idea is if people aren't familiar with it, when it comes time for a field goal,
That's
they
right.
raise the net.
That's
and
right.
The Allstate logo's in the back.
It's in the back, and people are kicking for the E, and hopefully that ball's going in the net.
And it was Pam Hollander's brainchild. So tell me about the hot chocolate runs now in this new association. I think you guys just announced that in January.
We did. It's a brand new relationship for us. So it was a really nice way to expand beyond the portfolio of college football and soccer, where we're pretty entrenched. Mm-hmm. And there's a group of people we're probably not reaching out there. And so we looked to add endurance to the portfolio, and we got into conversations with Ram Racing. They are the producers behind the Hot Chocolate Series, and we found that there was really good synergy between our brands. What we're both looking for, customer-focused, charitable aspects for both of the organizations, and we signed on as their first title sponsor of the Allstate Hot Chocolate Series.
And that's a little different sort of sports engagement.
It is.
This is an activity one,
it's
rather than a passive one.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so did they have the first run of the year, I think?
They had the first run of
November?
The year. Exactly. And the second one's coming up this weekend in Chicago, which is their biggest one here. And
it started in Chicago, didn't it?
It did. In 2007, it was the first race they had, and now they've expanded to 18 different race markets.
And so people can still sign up for the race in Chicago?
They can.
What is your involvement in it? How are you connected?
So not only are we the title sponsor, but we look to make sure that we're surrounding the racer at every aspect, through the expo they go to pick up the race packets, all the way through the race itself with branding and signage. And then we've got a really nice experiential part of at the end of the race.
Where people collapse?
Well, or they can stretch and relax.
So there's a tent in an area there.
There's a tented area there. And we're going to do some really fun social ideas where you can go up and see what your race time is by tracking your bib number. And we're going to have large hot chocolate-shaped ball pits.
Tell me about Girls on the Run and how they're connected to all of this.
Yeah, so Girls on the Run is an organization that Allstate's involved with, and it was a great synergy to put them together with the Allstate Hot Chocolate Races. And in 6 markets, we are partnering with them, and through their middle school runners, we are paying for their registration fees, and those kids are going to lead the 5K race in each of these cities. And we're also giving money back to the organization for future programming.
So in the Chicago Run this weekend, or coming up, the Girls on the Run will be the leaders.
They will for the 5K.
Is it like these hundreds of girls, or is it a middle school?
It depends each city on how many girls they've got affiliated with the program.
Okay. Yeah. And how does that play into Allstate's marketing role?
So it's a relationship that we have had with Girls on the Run for years. And again, we're always looking for charitable aspects to bring to the table. And this just felt like a really good synergy to bring these two things together.
One more sports note. I was reading about the Allstate All-America Cup.
Yes.
Which, that's youth soccer?
It is.
Is that new for you guys?
It's brand new for us. We're really excited about it. So if you think like an Under Armour All-America, a McDonald's All-America, we're going to now, Allstate's doing this for the soccer world.
And is it high school?
It is high school. Okay. And so we're going to do boys and girls soccer and identify the top players there. And we're going to actually bring them to the All-Star Cup over the summer and have them play a game there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't thought of that. So that doesn't exist when it came to soccer.
No, brand new.
Was that your idea too?
I'd love to say it was, but no, it's been a great partnership with an organization that brought the idea to us.
That's exciting. Okay, and then one other, there's the We Day at Allstate.
Yes.
What is that?
So We Day is actually an organization that's all about youth empowerment. And so that's a lot of work that the Allstate Foundation is doing. And We Day happens across the country, and it mobilizes kids and supports them for doing good in the world, globally and locally. And there's a huge celebration for kids who are involved.
All right, I want you to pull back then and look at, and we talked a little bit about how, sports is live viewing.
Yeah.
But you've been at this for a while.
Yes.
The media landscape has certainly changed dramatically. The way we take in, the way you convey your message has changed. What do you think has been sort of the greatest change that we're facing, and how have you exploited that?
Oh, that's a great question. The pace of change is just so phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Right? I would say social media has been a massive change, obviously, in the last few years, and the way it's being used and who's using it. And from a marketing standpoint, We've got to be out there telling our brand story before someone else tells it for us.
Well, I was going to say, because in a way, companies have lost the control that they might have had, right?
Right.
I mean, they can start with control, but it's so easily off the rails.
Absolutely.
And so how do you, I mean, how much of what you're posting, how much defense is involved in marketing?
It's a great sports analogy, yeah. Right? There's a lot of defense in there, and you're very careful about what you say and how you say it. But you've got to be out there. You've got to put your brand out there and allow people to engage with your brand.
Pam Hollander is the Vice President of Marketing at Allstate. Great to meet you.
I hope we
can talk again.
Absolutely.
It's
thank you.
The Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Watch out there, England, because the lads over at Boeing are making a touchdown in your hometown. Boeing is inching on global territory of competitors after opening their latest manufacturing plant in Sheffield, England. The plant cost them $52 million, and it continues to push the airline industry in the right direction. Up. But of course, there's that little thing hanging around that everyone in the UK and the EU is worried about. Brexit. So there's still a lot of unanswered questions on that front as to how that will impact the industry. And now let's check in on 1871. Their next class is coming up on Monday, October 29th, to cover the terminology of public blockchains. Despite it being years after cryptocurrencies wholeheartedly integrated the blockchain method into the view of the mainstream, a lot of people still have a hard time understanding exactly what it is. But you know what? That's okay. This stuff is relatively new, and people are still learning. So check out The Basics, presented by the Chicago Blockchain Project, starting at 6 p.m. in the Merchandise Mart, and expand your mind. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Take me to the pilot of your soul. Take me to the pilot.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson, Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank on 720 WGN. On the phone line now is, well, looky here, it is front row Phyllis. Phyllis, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. You've got some tickets to give away today as well, right, to Frankie Valli?
We do. Yeah, next Saturday evening. He's actually going to be, you know, it's the first time in 40 years that he's going to be entering the stage over at the Auditorium Theater.
Oh, no kidding.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
it's been quite some time that he's been over there.
All right, let's give these away. We've got a pair of tickets, I think, to the fifth caller. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. So say hello to Bennett, and if you're the fifth caller, we'll give you a couple ticks. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Do you need
Sounds
a couple?
Sounds good to me.
Do you want me to give you a couple, Phyllis?
No, I think I'm good. How about you?
I'll put you on hold if you want to call Bennett. Okay, so we've got that going on. The music we just heard coming in, though, was from Elton John, and this is his farewell tour, right?
This is tonight and tomorrow evening. We are so excited. It is his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. Well, it started out as his farewell tour. He's actually going to be coming back to Chicago. If he didn't get tickets for tonight or tomorrow, he will be back in Chicago at the Allstate Arena, I think February or March.
So
just so you know.
Are the shows this week sold out?
Yeah, they're pretty sold out. They are definitely pretty sold out. I think you could find tickets. I think tonight and tomorrow, you know, as things open up tonight, I think you'll be able to find some tickets. You just got to be patient.
Yeah.
That's what I tell everyone. I do want to tell everyone, if you are going to tonight's show, it is starting at 8 o'clock sharp. He is not having any opener. So it's real important to be there on time.
I like that. Have you ever seen Elton John?
Yeah. I am so excited to see him. I have not seen him.
Yeah.
So have you?
I have. I've seen him. I've seen him at least once. It's all running together now, Phyllis, as I look back on my log.
Right.
But I saw him. I saw him at Poplar Creek once, and I don't know if he. I don't think he did the first. I was at the first Farm Aid where a lot of people were, but I don't think he was there. So maybe just one time. But yeah, I'm a big Elton John fan, so that's exciting. I'm not going to see him. Maybe I'll catch him in February. I don't know. Who's Chris Botti? Should I know that name?
So Chris Botti. You do know the name.
Do I?
He is literally one of the best global across the country, Trumpeteers.
Oh,
you've
okay.
seen him. He's the one. He has blonde hair. He's amazing. He is seriously the entire package. And he is going to be, of course, dazzling us with his jazz and rock and pop trumpeter. And he's just an incredible showman. And so when you see him on stage at the Chicago Theater, he'll be here tomorrow evening. And it's just a great show. You definitely want to catch that.
All right. Sorry about that, Chris Bode. I'm going to look you up and learn more about you. I do know who Betty Buckley is. I see.
My goodness.
Dean Richards is filling in for John Williams in just a few minutes. And I swear I just saw a picture of Dean hugging Betty Buckley this week.
I know. I don't know how Dean got the hug, and I didn't get the hug, and no? I was there the other night. I don't know.
And she's in town for, is it Hello Dolly?
Yeah, Hello Dolly. And I have to be honest, I do this for a living, and it was one of the best productions I've ever seen.
Really?
Seriously.
Wow.
It is seriously one of the best productions. Not only is it everything from the costumes to the music to the entire production that's all new because it, of course, won Best Musical Revival. But let's talk about that. It's very funny. I forget that it's a very funny show.
Wow, okay.
So you definitely want to catch it, yeah.
Hello, Dolly. And then one more. There's a Disney Junior dance party at the Chicago Theater.
Yep, this is for all the kids out there.
I thought this was Disney on Ice. I'm like, how could people go dancing on ice? But no, it's just a Disney...
Right.
What's this about?
So this is, it's important. It's on Sunday, and there's two performances, a 2 o'clock and a 5 o'clock, and you get a chance to hang out with your favorite characters and sing and dance with them. I'm talking about Mickey and Minnie will be there, and Goofy and Sophia the First, and so many more. So for the young families, this is something you want to catch.
That's my new business. If we could get Elton John to show have a concert starts at 5, I would go to more of those shows. I'm going to start a concert venue where the show start at 4:35. I'm going to do that.
All right. Find more
information where at frontrowphyllis.com, or where do people find more?
You got it. That's exactly it.
All right. Have fun this week and enjoy Elton John, okay?
Thank you.